5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello again. Listen, we're here for a bit of a special episode of Tech Talk on the podcast only. Robin Christofferson's here. Hello.
Hiya.
So we thought we'd talk more about working from home. Now, in the last episode there, on episode 318, we had your strapping son, Sam, read us out information about working from home. But there's actually a lot more to it than that, isn't there?
Yes, and now we're all working from home. We will need to adjust a lot of what we do, and we need to combine safe home working, getting the technical stuff right, getting the ergonomics of it right, and also getting the other elements such as relaxation, being able to switch off, being able to avoid things like social media as a kind of ever-present part of your day, and also getting out and getting some fresh air. And in fact, that's where Sam is at the moment. He's going out looking for a place where he can do chin-ups.
Oh, really?
So that his biceps don't wither away because all the gyms are closed. And he's been spending the last day and a half trying to find any kind of home gym where people will deliver and it's not out of stock, to no avail. So yeah, there's a lot of adjustments that we're going to have to make to our lives over the coming weeks and potentially months as well.
But actually, on top of that as well, you've got the fact that, you know, we're only allowed out once a day or one walk a day, essentially, for exercise. That's going to be challenging for someone who, you know, is so used to exercise, who's so used to being active.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point about, I don't know, with guide dogs, because they say at least one a day, preferably two. And I can't imagine that if you just go out, you're not bothering anyone else, you know, you're keeping apart from people, you're just getting some fresh air, that there will be any need to be too concerned about going out more than once if that's going to really help with your mental health.
It's not the official advice.
It's not the official advice, but...
And these are different times, Robin. This is the reality of it. And I get what you're saying, but... You know, this is a different world we live in at the moment, and we do have to heed this advice, because the problem is that we will always find an excuse to go out more than once, won't we? That's the problem. We'll always find the excuse. You know, well, I need to take my dog out there, I need to do this, and I really need to go out and do that. And, well, actually, you don't, and actually, the more you do it, the more you put yourself and others in harm's way. That's the whole point of this.
I totally agree. We need to be really careful here that we don't advocate anything that is making those guidelines slip or in any way diminishing the importance or the significance of them. So I totally agree. I would say, though, that many guide dog owners live in an apartment or don't have a garden or don't have a spending area. You know, they haven't got a pen on their premises. And for them, you will need to take your dog out, obviously, more than once a day, many times a day for spending. So yes, I totally agree. We do not want to in any way belittle the importance and the, you know, the potential impact on us and others. But at the same time, you don't feel like you are having to be confined and it's making you go stir crazy. And there's lots of tips in what we're going to hear in a moment. And we all should do our best. We've probably seen on, you know, post the announcement yesterday about, you know, really locking down on this. Lots of reports on the media about, you know, the tube trains in London are still packed. They're still, you know, armpit to armpit there. So everyone's going to have to adjust to the new paradigm and really try and impose discipline, and they are going to be cracking down. I can't believe that they're not going to be, you know, giving key workers ID that don't already have a work badge that show that they work for the NHS or something, or for a particular, you know, one of these key industries that are still allowed to travel, and that they will, you know, expect to see those displayed before they'll let them onto the tube or public transport or whatever. So yeah, let's, you know, this is ever-changing times, isn't it? And I, like you, I agree, things are going to be taken very seriously from now on.
And potentially more seriously if people don't heed the advice, and that's the key point,
isn't it?
That's
been the problem, hasn't it?
Well, that's right. I mean, that's why we're in this situation. It's not exclusively. I think anybody who's been watching the news regularly, that's not advised either, by the way. I think, you know, we need to turn off the news channels from time to time. I know I'm feeling that way. You know, you can watch so much of it that you become consumed by it, and it obviously has an impact on anxiety as well. That's really important to you know, not be constantly viewing 24-hour rolling news. However, it is important to be up to date with information as well. And as I've been watching, and as I'm sure you have as well, the sort of lead up to this, we've been getting essentially told. I get the impression that whatever we hear about on a Tuesday is what's happening on the Thursday. It seems we're always 2 days away from something. And if they're starting to talk about it and getting it into the national conversation, it's probably likely to happen. And I've got to say, you know, from my own point of view, I think it's about time that we did this. But I think, you know, it may come to a point where it gets even stricter, because people, like you say, are still, you know, will still continue to go out. Because, look, if you're in a fortunate position, and I think it's safe to say, Robin, you and I are in that fortunate position where we can work from home. Mm-hmm. We can continue to, you know, exist in our daily lives with relative ease. We have access to food, and we have access to, you know, to services, and we've got people around us. That's fine. If you don't have that, that's where you have a challenge. And if you don't have the financial capability to allow yourself to just stay at home because maybe you're self-employed and you can't wait for the money to appear because you have a mortgage to pay or you have a rent to pay. And there's still, you know, ambiguity around all of that as well about, you know, what's being paid and what's not by the government. It's a challenging and worrying time. And so of course, people will say, well, look, I'm sorry, but I have to work. I have to live. What is the alternative? But of course, the alternative is that you catch this disease and you personally may not be impacted by this. But you could impact others. And, you know, I saw a thing on the news the other week about, you know, if one person goes out there who isn't directly impacted by it, but goes out having the disease on them, unaware of it, because I think it's, what, 7 to 14 days before it really shows up?
Yep. They don't know for sure, but...
Yeah, they don't know. It's still difficult to know. But there are days where you could have it and be infectious. And, of course, one thing we do know is that it's infectious early on. So you may not even know you've got it, and you have say you've met 10 people. You've just given it to those 10 people. And then those 10 people, yeah, potentially, and then those 10 people could potentially give it to another 10, and so the spread starts. And you know, that's all just because you thought you're invincible, you can go out, you'll be fine, you've not got underlying health conditions, you'll be all right. And that's just not... That's where we've got to stop people thinking like that. We've got to not be selfish about this.
One challenge with the young people, because, you know,
well, yeah,
our young people in this house feel invincible and invulnerable, and that it doesn't apply to them. But, you know, you're going to have to keep reins on those guys as well. And you're right, not everyone has support around them. You know, you're self-isolating. A lot of our listeners are going to be potentially on their own for long periods, and that support network around them may be, you know, at arm's length. Online, you know, leaving stuff on your door. There's not going to be a lot of face-to-face interaction. And there is going to be a significant impact, huge adjustments that we're going to make sure that we're not going to be putting ourselves and other people at risk.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, we are wanting to talk about working from home because we did feature the article that you had written in Tech Talk, but we thought we'd come onto the podcast to, I guess, vent our spleen about life in general at the moment, because, you know, frankly, it's impossible not to discuss. But we also wanted to give a bit more of that article here as well. And you've written more. Let's hear now from Sam, who has read this. Sam is your son. He read this out for us here on Tech Talk so that we can all listen in to Robin's article on working from home.
This information is intended to help those employees who are new to home working and need to know the essential elements of working safely and efficiently at home in the short, medium, or long term. Your company should have already briefed you about much of the below, but let's bring it all together in one place just in case. What will I need? Work may have already provided you with the equipment, IT setup, and guidelines for working from home, but here's the essential elements of what you'll need. A laptop or computer. Any assistive technologies from work. Stable and reliable internet access. Secure remote access to the corporate network or intranet. Access to corporate emails. And a work phone if company policy. For many companies, accessing the corporate email, intranet, and file storage could be as simple as securely logging into one or more websites or cloud applications. Other organizations may require that you use a VPN, virtual private network, to connect to these systems, or indeed to the internet as a whole, to ensure that your connection is private and secure from attack. This is because IT cannot be sure that your home network is secure, or that you won't decide to work using public Wi-Fi connection. If you need to use a VPN, your IT team should have instructed you how to set this up. Setting up your home workspace. The first thing you'll need to do is to decide the place in your home that you'll be working. There are several things to consider which are covered in the next sections. Designate a suitable space to work. As much as you might want to wake up and work directly from the comfort of your own bed, in the long term it's not going to aid in your productivity. This doesn't mean you need to go and create an exact office space in your house, with office furniture, desks and chairs, but just have an area that can be used solely for working purposes so you can differentiate when you are in the working zone. One important aspect is ensuring that your setup is safe for you to work at for longish periods. We'll discuss breaks shortly, but the main priority is to ensure that the place where you'll be spending many hours working on your computer each day is fundamentally safe from an ergonomic standpoint. Now let's look at some top tips for a safe working setup. Don't work on a surface that's too low or too high. You should not be hunched over when typing, so a coffee table is out for working on for any length of time. Similarly, you shouldn't be typing under your chin, so forget a breakfast bar with a standard chair. A kitchen or dining table is slightly higher than a working desk, so you may want to add a cushion to your seat. If you do, it's really important that your feet are still on the floor so as not to put pressure on the backs of your knees. You can avoid this by putting something like a thin box or thick book on the floor. Top tip: many people use a standing desk to avoid sitting all day whilst working. Recreate this at home by taking an ironing board and setting it at a comfortable height to type while standing up. To avoid wobble and a possible laptop catastrophe, put it against a wall to make it more stable. This should not be your permanent workstation, but for variety, it's an excellent option. Don't have a permanent twist in your neck or body. It's really important not to work with a constant twist in your neck. If you often need to refer to a print document or a second screen that is over to one side, you may want to ask work for a document stand that you can easily clamp to the edge of your desk or table to hold the item behind your laptop screen, or if you have a computer with a monitor, position the two centrally side by side. Change it up. Constant, regular changes to your working position are a good thing. If you want to work standing at your kitchen work surface for a time, then go for it. If you want to spend the morning on the sofa with the laptop on your knee, then go ahead. Although this shouldn't be your permanent workspace, it's not great for your arms and nowhere near as comfortable as you might first think. Consider a laptop razor. If a laptop is your permanent computer when you're at work, then you should be using a laptop razor. A stand that brings the screen of the laptop up to the right height, with the top of it somewhere near your eye level, and a separate keyboard and mouse. Of course, this does not apply if you use a laptop in clamshell mode, permanently closed. If you haven't got access to a laptop razor, then a box or stack of books will do as well. However, if it looks like you'll be working from home for long periods, you may want to ask work for a laptop razor plus separate keyboard to recreate this optimal working position. Also, don't forget that your TV can be used as a really huge computer monitor. The way it's positioned may not make it ideal for full-time use, but consider how it might be temporarily and safely moved onto a table or desk if larger text is what you usually need at work. Dealing with distractions. If there are children or other people around in your home, try as much as possible to keep this as a separate, private working space for you. It's important to help them understand that this is your working area, and try to clearly signal when you're working and when you're available. If you have children under a certain age at home, you'll obviously need to discuss this with work and make a suitable, flexible arrangement that safely balances work and childcare. More on working hours below. Take regular breaks. It's important to take breaks from your work to maintain productivity and prevent injury. At home, you don't have the cues for lunch breaks or time away from your desk that rejuvenate you, ready for the next challenge, so you need to schedule that time in. Taking regular breaks will help you remain focused and remove any kinks that are building up due to what might be a less than perfect ergonomic working setup. Set yourself working hours. One of the hardest aspects of working remotely is concentrating on the task at hand. There are many distractions that do not exist at work, and it's easy to become distracted by what's happening on Facebook, the TV that you decided to turn on briefly in a coffee break, visitors popping over, or even the mound of laundry that needs doing. This can mean you find yourself working sporadically throughout the days, evenings, or even weekends. One benefit of working from home is that you can break off if something important does actually arise, but keeping regular hours as if you were at work is key. So set yourself some rigid working hours where you shut everything off and try to remain focused on the task at hand. Ask family and friends not to call you during those hours and put off those household errands as if you are actually at work. By the way, those rigid hours don't need to be 9 to 5, so long as this is okay with your employer. You know better than anyone when you do your best thinking and working, so take advantage of it. Most employers won't mind what hours you keep, so long as you are getting the work completed on time and to a quality standard, as well as still attending all calls and online meetings, of course. That's the beauty of being flexible. You should be able to work the hours that suit you when you know you are most productive. Remaining focused and positive. During this period of working from home, our mental health is something we need to prioritise as much as our physical health. We've mentioned taking breaks to help keep well and focused. It's important to use those breaks to concentrate on positive activities and avoid things that may increase our levels of stress and anxiety. Get physical. Use breaks to do some physical exercise if you can. Short amounts of physical activity of any kind is a really good counterbalance to even long periods of sitting. If you have stairs, then walking up and down them for 5 minutes will get your heart pumping. Do some squats or star jumps, or if you have a smart speaker, ask for a workout and it will offer you several, from a short high-intensity workout to a yoga or Pilates session. You could also do some quick household chores. They're good exercise and you'll feel virtuous for getting the housework done. If you have a dog or a garden, then it's useful to get some fresh air. Activity combined with the added bonus of fresh air is an excellent tonic to stress and anxiety. If you have neither, then open a window while you work. Avoid too much media. During this period, it'll be vital for our mental health to avoid the constant checking and monitoring of news and especially social media. Keeping strict limits on when we check these will help us remain more positive, keep a good work-life balance, and be more focused and productive. Just as we shouldn't be checking work emails on evenings and weekends, avoid checking social and other media throughout the day. Put your phone out of arm's reach, preferably in another room, and keep your attention on work and not the wider world outside and all its worries. Whatever you do, do not have constant rolling news on in the background on the TV or radio. Instead of putting on the news, select some suitably calming music that will help with the positive working atmosphere. It can increase focus and reduce feelings of isolation. You can even ask your smart speaker for background cafe or office sounds. If it helps, there are apps you can use on your laptop or work phone to limit or block distractions, such as news and social media apps or websites, so you can really focus on work, although IT may need to give permissions for such apps to be installed. Use voice and video as well as text. When you're working remotely, what you are required to do can be lost in text translation, and things may not be as clear as if you were discussing a project in person. It is beneficial if you can supplement email or text communication with frequent online face-to-face and voice interactions, depending on what type of discussion you are having. Video conferencing and talking on the phone helps convey tone of voice and body language that are fundamental to communication being effective and are better to use for more serious, in-depth work challenges. Audio or video calls with colleagues are not only great for collaborative working, but they can be good company for isolated team members. Some teams actually leave a group online meeting going throughout the day so that it feels like the usual office team environment. Top tip. Be careful though, to be properly dressed for a video call. Many an employee has been caught out when, joining an online meeting, the video from their laptop camera was on by default and it caught them in their pajamas. Many home workers still choose to dress for work. You may want to consider this as it can help you get into the work zone, as well as avoiding any chance of a pajama faux pas. Dealing with sensitive information. There are also some things to consider relating to the General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, whilst working from home. It's important to be aware of sensitive information and how best to keep it away from eyes that shouldn't see it. And this does include spouses, family and friends. So when you're away from your computer, always try to lock the screen. Windows key plus L on a PC Command plus Control plus Q on the Mac. And keep all sensitive paperwork or printouts tidied or stored away and not scattered around in plain view. Don't bring any sensitive paperwork home with you unless you absolutely have to, as again, this can be a breach of GDPR. If you have to, make sure you've assessed the risks and tried to minimise them. So first decide if you really need to take any paperwork home, and if you do, consider tips such as only taking the necessary parts of a larger document or make a copy if the original document isn't required. Or even better, an electronic scan stored on your phone or laptop. When travelling home, keep all documents out of sight in a firmly closed bag or locked briefcase and never leave them on view in your car. Lastly, just as you're advised to shred your own sensitive documents, like bank statements, etc., before putting them in the bin or out for recycling, it's important that you do the same for any work-related documents. Having problems with homeworking. If you're feeling uncomfortable, having difficulties staying focused, or experiencing any other issues associated with working from home, it's really important to let work know. It might be that you're struggling with some aspects of your role without having colleagues at hand, or an issue with the physical or technical setup of your equipment. For help with setting up your equipment, go to www.mycomputermyway.com. This contains step-by-step guides to all the accessibility settings of the Mac, Windows, Android, and iOS. A good way to let work know about any issues you experience and explore many more helpful tips is to create a clear talents profile. This will help you ensure that your workspace is set up correctly, as well as guiding work in discussing all your needs. Go to www.cleartalentsatwork.com. It's free and easy to use.
That was Sam, Robin's son, reading out that article there for us, working from home, an extended version of the article you would have heard on Tech Talk. Robin, thank you for writing that, and also thank you to Sam for reading that for us. He's got a great voice. I know I said it before, but he's got a brilliant voice. You know, I've got to be honest. I know that this is a scary time for people, and I'm conscious that at this point, because we're in very early stages of this, but I do think that at the end of all of this, there will be some positives. I was reading an article just last night, actually, by a leading professor in London who was talking about how this may change essentially all of our working lives, especially forever. The idea of remote working. So, you know, remote working is something which by some has been seen as a, you know, a charter for, you know, having a free day, you know, a duvet day, as opposed to doing any actual work. Although the actual evidence says the opposite. It says that people do work hard. In fact, in some cases, work longer hours as a result of working from home. And that's the other side of the argument against working from home, that actually people work too much. But
I think it's just gives you the flexibility that we heard there. And you're right. I think the more it's normalized, and this absolutely will be doing that in spades, the more empowered disabled people will be. We all know about the challenges of getting to work, taxis not turning up, access to work, shenanigans, having to deal with public transport to get to our places of work. Are those places accessible? Have they been adapted for us? If you're a screen reader user, is your office super noisy, which is why I started to work from home in the first place, because they're a particularly noisy bunch there. And so, all of those things get swept away. You can have your setup at home. We heard some top tips about the things you'll need to consider. Obviously, add your AT, your assistive technology, to that list, and hopefully you'll have been able to swipe all the bits of specialist kit that you've got at work to bring home, to set up at home as much as you can. If you have, you know, particular technologies, different trackball or a different, you know, ergonomic keyboard or whatever it might be, particular headset that will help you better with dictation. And once you're set up at home and everyone realizes that, hey, these online meetings are actually really effective, you can share screens. And that's something we should probably talk about, because a lot of the platforms, when you do screen share, what they're sharing is actually just pixels of a presentation. You know, you just see it on screen as a graphic thing, which isn't obviously suitable for us.
Yeah, screen reader wouldn't run over that.
No, I
wouldn't.
Absolutely. No. But there are solutions that have ways around that, including Zoom, Microsoft Teams, etc. once people realize that these are a very effective way of working and you can get many more meetings and, you know, work done in a day because you're not having to do all the travel time and all the teas and coffees and, you know, all of those pesky chatting around the water cooler and stuff like that, although you can obviously recreate those with an online audio call.
Yeah, but you say pesky stuff, but that's the important stuff as well, though, isn't it? The social aspect of it. And you don't get that working from home.
Well, it was mentioned in the piece there that, you know, some teams, small teams, actually choose to keep a group call on all day.
Mm.
So they're all just, you know,
I can't think
like
of anything
you and
worse.
I, we're just having a little chat. You hear the person's keyboards going in the other, you know, on the other end of the lines.
Yeah.
And if they've got any questions, they can just throw it up there. I actually think that's quite a powerful way of working.
I think it depends on the team, though. It does depend on the nature absolutely. Of the team. And obviously, you are at home. So, you know, the dog's going to bark or the, you know, door will go or, you know, your wife or husband might come in or your partner. So, you know, there's obviously
that. And
you could
potentially have small kids at home as well.
That's right,
yeah. Absolutely. There's lots of kind of ifs around that, you know. But yeah, so a small team where everyone's pretty focused and they're all working on the same project, for example, to sprint finish a particular thing that they need to get done, that would be a really powerful way of doing it. But not if it's just going to cause a lot of unnecessary noise in your ears while you're trying to concentrate. Absolutely.
But interestingly, it came up in the piece as well about using your smart speaker to create noise. And you know, you mentioned it in the article, but that's actually quite, you know, as a line, essentially. But that's a really powerful thing because having the ability to have some, you know, background noise, this, I mean, I think you can even get sounds of an office, you know, if you wanted, or, you know, that you can create and put a soundscape behind you in your home. That yes. at least gives you the sense of a place.
There are dozens, probably hundreds of skills that give you soundscapes to listen to. If you want rainforest, if you want nature, if you want a busy city, you can even, you know, there's one called Virtual Vacation where you can choose which city you want to visit. You know, do you want to hear the calls of people in a London outdoor market, you know, come on, darling, come and get, you know, 3 for a pound, or New York or San Francisco, the trams going by, whatever you want. So yeah, office, cafe, totally. And that might be something that will just help with that feeling of isolation, you know, particularly if you're, and obviously I would recommend this to people who potentially aren't in work and just want to have that extra bit of richness to, you know, ambient audio richness to their days. I would definitely recommend that as well. Obviously, if it's distracting, then you want to put a stop to that straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and then, you know, have regular scheduled meetings with people, whether it's just friends or colleagues. So every afternoon at 3 o'clock now, our team within AbilityNet, which is about 7 people, have an afternoon tea. A quarter of an hour online. It's a regular recurring meeting. There's rules. You don't talk about work and you don't talk about the virus. And you have a cup of tea. That's mandatory. You've got to have a cup of tea in your hand and something to go with it. And so we do that every single afternoon. Things like that, where you can touch base with people. So your days aren't just completely you working away, or, you know, whatever it is you're doing just on your Todd because you're having to be isolated.
I mean, we are creatures of habit by nature. And, you know, we have our workday routines that we all have, whether it be you come in the morning, you switch the computer on, you make a cup of tea, you come back to your desk, you know, you still wait for the computer to load up if you're in that position,
yeah.
You know, all that stuff. And I think it's about you know, trying to build a similar routine at home. And routine is important. I mean, you know, it is, I think, important for me to get up in the morning and have a shower, get dressed, not, you know, fully dressed like I would if I was going to the office.
Go to town. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, get dressed. At least the reason I think that's important is because when your workday finishes, you get changed into your evening clothes. Or if you, you know, I do this, I come home, usually put a pair of shorts on and a t-shirt or something, you know, when I'm lounging about the house. And that feels like my day is over. You know, it physically changes your day. Having a constant where you're, you know, maybe just sitting in your pajamas all day and you haven't bothered to shower or shave or whatever, that's not going to work for you long term, because it's making everything surround your work or your life, it brings it all into one, and then you can't differentiate.
Yeah, you've got to have two. that distraction free zone as much as possible. If you can recreate or retain your working pattern of the day that you had at work, that will really help to differentiate between work and play. Don't look at work emails on an evening. Try not to look at social media during the day. It will depress the heck out of you.
Yeah.
And yeah, get dressed. Definitely. I've just literally come off a video presentation where I was delivering some consultancy to a university, and at the last minute I realized I needed to put a shirt on. That would probably be a good plan. Luckily I'd had a shave, but all of these things you need to start thinking about and just carry on your work routine. Like you say, get up in the morning, still have a shower, still get dressed, have a shave, just in case. Not just in case, regardless of whether you've got a video call that day.
Yeah, and that's a,
I must say,
that's
though,
an important
point. I took my
shirt
off straight away after the call.
Of course you did, hang it back up. but that's the thing, actually. So video calling is now a thing, and a lot of offices will... I'm in a position where my office doesn't require that we are on video, but some offices might, and they may prefer it because then everyone can physically see each other. And of course, as blind people, you might think, well, I don't care about that. But it does, you know, it's not just about you. You know, it's so your sighted colleagues can see you and know you're there. And, you know, I think it's also a bit of a check-in as well for everyone to make sure everyone's physically doing okay. Because this is a challenge. This is a new challenge for a lot of us. And for teams like you, you have worked from home for a long time. You are used to working in that remote environment. But it's very different when you're forced to do it, when you can't go out. And you can't just, you know, I might go into the office today and see people. You don't have that option. That's different. That changes the dynamic. So I think having as much time as possible with you know, FaceTime with your colleagues is good. And one way we've done it at RNIB Connect Radio is to set up a WhatsApp group. And I've encouraged more people to use the voice message function rather than text. Although if they want to use text, that's fine. But, you know, if you could send a voice message, because then we can all hear each other. And I think that's quite nice as well, because... if we're at this for months, it's going to feel really lonely. So just hearing other people's voices can just, you know, a bit of, as I would call it, audio colour into your day is a nice thing.
I think that's WhatsApp is a brilliant suggestion, and we should definitely put that forward. You can have multiple groups going. So you could have a work-related one, you could have a friends and a family-related one,
yep.
You know, a special interest-related one. There's so many out there. You can set up your own very easily. And it's a very accessible app. It's very easy to see which groups have unread messages or unheard messages. They drift to the top of your list of groups. It's very accessible. And like you say, the voice one, I think, is the one that brings colour. It's the easiest one to do. It really connects you with those people when you hear their voices. And it's so easy. You just double tap and hold the record button at the bottom and let go, and it's been sent. So yeah, WhatsApp, very accessible, a brilliant tip.
And also there's another aspect here. This might be for more power users, but you know, as many of us may be having to use systems that require us to maybe remote desktop into our computers, that means if you don't know, that means, you know, you essentially are on your computer but you might need access to another computer. I've been trying out Chrome Remote Desktop, which works off Google Chrome. It's an extension that you add. You have to have someone add it to the other end, so that might be more of a challenge now. But you know, if you do have people in an office or whatever, or you know, I guess you probably don't now, but you know, either way, this allows you the capability to connect to another computer and remotely control it, which is brilliant. But in addition to that, for someone who's blind, as long as you can access the you know, you've got a proper keyboard. I'll explain why I've got more of a challenge with that in a second, but. But if you've got a proper keyboard on your computer, you can enact Narrator and you can use the computer with the screen reader built onto the PC or the Mac, I guess, as well. The reason I have a bit of a challenge with this because I have a Mac and I'm trying to connect with a PC using a Magic Keyboard and the keys are all different and I can't work out which ones are which. So, you know, that's a bit of a challenge. But you can do it. You can switch on Narrator. You can still control the computer, even though it may be miles away. And that's really useful as well. These tools do work.
Yes. So our IT department used TeamViewer, which I think is a free solution. I'm not sure about the UI, the interface of the person who is remoting into my computer. If I need any support, that may or may not be accessible. I can't speak to that necessarily, but the dialogue that comes up for you as a screen reader user who needs to let them access your computer to sort you out, that is accessible, and that's on Windows and Mac.
Yep.
And I would definitely recommend JAWS Tandem, setting up initiating a JAWS Tandem session. If you and the person that you're trying to support are both JAWS users, and it's very easy to do. And then you're driving their computer, your keyboard becomes their keyboard, you can hear what their JAWS is saying. So if that's the case, and you have traditionally been tech support for your family who are also JAWS users, but you're not allowed to go around anymore, then, do it that way. It's brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's not forget these many, many platforms. And we're starting to hear more talk of Zoom in the national conversation, which up until recently was like country music. Everybody knew it was there, but no one went near it. And, Zoom is very popular. Actually, as a platform, because it's very similar to Skype. I argue slightly better than Skype. From a navigation point of view, as a blind person, I find it brilliant to use. We use it all the time. That's how we're connecting right now. It's how we connect when we do Tech Talk. It's a wonderful system. It has so many more capabilities, though, than what we use it for. Webinar capability, ability to host groups on it, and all of the functions are fully accessible. In fact, there's a book that's available at the moment by Jonathan Mosen, a blind guy in New Zealand who has written many books on accessibility. He's making the book free at the moment, How to Use Zoom, and you can get that from Jonathan Mosen's website, mosen.org, and you can go and download that book for free. And, it's obviously quite a chunky book, and it's going to tell you a lot of information, but, if you're blind and you want to learn how this works and maybe host your own events online, it might be worth reading. It's a great, great system, I think. I really do like Zoom.
Yes, definitely. Any of these platforms, whether it's Zoom or Teams is the one that Microsoft's obviously pushing really hard. Just Google keyboard shortcuts for X, and then you can get a really good list of the key ones that you need to be aware of, because there's nothing more disorienting or frustrating when the thing's ringing and you can't remember what the hotkey to pick up the call is, or to unmute your microphone when you're actually in a meeting and people are saying, we can't hear you. So, learn the key few, the core few keystrokes, and then you will feel more comfortable when you have to deal with those. And working from home, chances are you're going to have to deal with more than one, because people will be sending you invites because everyone's doing meetings online. Yep. And not everyone's using the same platform.
No, that's right. That's right. I mean, got to be careful with Skype for Business, because it is accessible to some degree. I mean, it's not inaccessible, but it goes back to my argument I use a lot about accessibility and usability. I think it is accessible, but it's not the most usable. Weirdly, though, on the Mac side, great. I love it on the Mac. Skype for Business is brilliant on the Mac. Teams the same. Teams is very accessible on the PC, though, as well. And Zoom, of course, is accessible on all platforms. And there's a mobile app as well. Sorry, I'm a huge Zoom fan. I just love Zoom.
As there is of these other ones, too. Absolutely.
Yes, that's true.
That's a really good tip, because they all have mobile apps.
Yes, absolutely.
And as long as you're logged in on all of them, which you should be, obviously, you can go in with any of them. And if it's a scheduled meeting, then that reminder will pop up on all of your devices at the same time. And, why not just go in on your phone? Just tap on the link on the notifications screen. It'll take you straight to the app and you'll automatically join the call. Far fewer controls to deal with on that smaller screen. And so, yeah, definitely consider doing that. And then you can still work on your computer by just having one ear in from your phone and one ear from the earphones that you use on your computers, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Robin, listen, thank you for coming on and doing this special episode for us. And we will be back, of course, at the usual time. You can listen to Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio, Tuesdays from 1 p.m. That's our first play on RNIB Connect Radio. Tune in then. And of course, find us always online as a podcast. You can find that just by searching for RNIB Tech Talk, wherever you're choosing to get your podcasts from. Don't forget, you can keep in touch with the show as well. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Robin Christofferson, thank you.
Thanks guys, and stay well.
Yeah, absolutely. You too, Robin. And we'll catch you for another Tech Talk soon.